Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
The week after the Indianapolis 500. I tell you what, it feels so good to be back here at the Balance Studios here in the heart of Indianapolis. I love the month of May in Indianapolis. But let me tell you, the job has its perks, and we get to cover a lot of fun stuff. But when it's over, it is good to just sit back and relax a little bit and get things back to normal. And that's kind of what we've been doing here all week long. And it is good to be back at the Balance Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning to you. You have stumbled across the number one sports talk show in the internet, affiliate radio stations, and really across the world. If you're listening to us, you're among the chosen few. You are among the minions. And so glad that you could join us live here on the Balance Radio Network or our encore presentation on Saturday afternoons on Indiana Talks. So if you're listening to us on Indiana Talks, welcome my minions on Indiana Talks. Well, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your fearless leader for the next 2 hours. I am going to guide you through 2 hours of sports talk. We call this show The Balance. We do that because we give you a full balance of everything. And today we'll be talking some more racing, but we're going to be shifting gears a little bit and going over to NASCAR. But we will update you on what's happening with IndyCar. Some pretty big news happening out of IndyCar. Joining us will be Mr. Kenny Barr of Radio Speed Talk. And we're also got Meet the Makers today. We're going to see where they're at and what their travels have them in store for them this past week and the upcoming week. And in case you hadn't heard, in case you live underneath a rock, the Indiana Pacers are within one game of elimination from the Miami Heat again. Will this happen again, or will the Pacers be able to stop LeBron James and get the job done? We'll find out tonight here in Indianapolis if there'll be a Game 7 again in Miami, and we'll get into that conversation at the latter part of the show. So again, my minions, welcome, welcome, welcome. My digits, 917-889-8516. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're gonna break down all of the IndyCar action, get you up to speed on that. But we're going to jump back into the NASCAR talk, guys. Because the boys are in Dover, we're going to break down some stuff that happened in Charlotte, exciting race in Charlotte. We're going to talk NASCAR. So we'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
You better watch your back, because I've been looking for you. You better watch your back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution. IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Speed Talk is a show about racing, both national and local.
We also give our opinions and thoughts on the happenings of the week.
On top of that, we also include interviews from all tiers of racing.
And don't forget the segment Do You Know, which gives you more knowledge than you can handle.
Really, Kenny? More knowledge than we can handle?
Join Tom, Kenny, and me, Cliff, weekly on Speed Talk as we give you the lowdown on the racing world.
Catch us on The Balance and other affiliates weekly.
Don't forget to visit us at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, the racing show you won't soon forget.
You know, we had a good car. Just, it was a tough race. It was so competitive. You know, you'd make one little mistake and you get shuffled back. So, you know, we were a little conservative early and was trying to slide back just to save some fuel. Got shuffled back too far and was never able to recover. You know, I think we were probably a little light on downforce compared to some other guys, and that bit us in the end. But you know, that was the strategy we went with, and it didn't work out. So overall, really happy for the team and the month we had. But you know, today in the moment, 10th isn't what we came for. So you know, in the big scheme of things, it's something to be happy about. The team did a good job. We're building. You know, but just for today, we had bigger goals.
You know what? I mean, lovely to win a fourth right now, but and that's what we're here to do. We didn't do it. We didn't deserve it. But quite honestly, we did not deserve it. We were, you know, I don't think in any shape or form, Tony deserved it today. Couldn't have happened to a better person. And I don't really care about, you know, much else apart from what this means to Tony Kanaan, his friends, his family. That's what I care. And I've got to say to the fans, I mean, the fans have supported him, so they seem very, very happy, and that's cool.
That was so fun. It was, to be leading at Indy, my body went numb for about five laps, and it was so special, and I won't forget that. And unfortunately, to have the belt come loose, that cost us the win.
Well, I mean, it was tough. I mean, it's just, if everything doesn't go right, you know, it's tough to get back up to speed. But, you know, we had our rear brakes go out after the first stop, so all I had were the front, and that made it incredibly difficult to stop. And then, you know, we caught on fire twice, so that was also difficult. But, I mean, I'm very pleased. I mean, I finished it. I made the whole race. And, you know, we're 22nd. That's not too bad, you know, considering where we started. I don't know where the heck we are. But not too bad, I don't think.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, Jill Presidente. Well, that was just some recaps of the Indianapolis 500 at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We had the esteemed pleasure of hanging out there with Radio Speed Talk, and we had a good opportunity to catch some reactions and post-reaction after the races. A great race. Finally to see TK, Tony Kanaan, win his first Indianapolis 500. Joining us now from Radio Speed Talk is Mr. Kenny Barr. Well, that's a good fine how do you do, sir. How are you? Oh, okay. Apparently, Kenny's got some issues, so we'll get back with him in just a minute. I'm not sure what happened there. Oh, I don't know. So we're gonna just keep talking about the Indianapolis 500. I was all geared up to go right to that, but what a great race that was. Out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I think we have Kenny back. Are you okay there, buddy?
No, I'm surviving. Yeah.
I was like, what happened, man? It sounded like you were getting all choked up. I mean, I know how big of a moment it is for you to be here on The Balance on the week after the Indianapolis 500, but to get all choked up about it, come on, man.
Well, it's a little morning drainage, and I had my sons trying to call me on my smartphone, and I hit the wrong button and lost you.
So, that's pretty smart, huh? Was it Sir Preston Barr?
No, it was the middle one, the one who lives up in Chicago.
I got you.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, they were playing poker last night. I'm sure he's going to give me the lowdown on how much money he claims he won. So he was calling me for advice in mid-poker hands. It was kind of funny last night.
We do not condone gambling on this show. No, actually we do. I do a lot of it. No. All right, Kitty. 1 week after the Indianapolis 500, we're going to talk a little IndyCar. Certainly, the primary topic today will be NASCAR. We're going to talk some Charlotte. A lot of action out there in Charlotte. Of course, the big boys are out in Dover this week as well. But we do want to recap the Indianapolis 500. What a huge win that was for Tony Kanaan to finally, after so many disappointing losses out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and certainly throughout the entire month, we saw a lot of surprises. But I guess it brings back to our point that we've talked about here on the show before. Went under caution, not so popular with the fans, but maybe this year they're willing to make an exception on that. Kenny, what were your thoughts on the Indianapolis 500 and TK winning his first Indianapolis 500?
Well, it's an absolute wonderful win. I think Tony Kanaan is, of all 33 drivers, he probably was as far and away the most popular win there could have been, even if Andretti popped through there or Ed Carpenter popped through there. I think Kanaan, with so many near misses, the way he conducts himself at every racetrack, not just Indianapolis, the way he identifies with the fans, the way he takes the time to hang out with the little kids when he gets a quick opportunity at the racetrack, I don't think he could have had a better winner, actually, for the Indy 500. You know, there's a lot of great storylines there this year, but he was far and away my favorite. Besides, I picked him on Speed Talk when they finally pinned me in a corner, which I really don't like picking racers because it's so difficult to do. I picked Kanaan and he won, so it had to be a little bit of Speed
Talk.
Well,
that's what it was. Well, that's what it was, and I think you need to jump on board with Tony Kanaan's team, because if that's all it takes for him to win a race, I think you could probably get signed to a PR contract or something like that.
Well, you know, I'm readily available. You know, it's easy to find me. I'm all over everywhere, and I'll be home tonight because the show I was going to do tonight up at Angola Motor Speedway just got canceled. So if I sound a little bit bummed or mad, I kind of am.
Well, I can understand that. Well, you know, that's what – is Angola a dirt track?
No, it's a 3/8-mile high bank asphalt just on the northeast corner of the state of Indiana.
Oh, so they just were under the anticipation that there might be some bad weather, so they went ahead and made the cancel, huh?
I guess. I just got a quick text, and I was going to call the promoter and bark at him, but it's still not going to make the thing any different, so –
Well, I totally understand. Now, you know, I want to talk a little bit more IndyCar, and then we'll jump over here to the NASCAR topic. First of all, we got the first doubleheader starting today up in Detroit, and a track that's really has had its struggles as a track, and they've did a really good job of bringing it back to life, and I think that we'll see this track up in Detroit really become a major player in the next few years. But our first doubleheader also, if you had not heard, which I know you have because we've talked about it, but as we know, J.R. Hillebrand didn't have a good showing out there at the Indianapolis 500, and I don't know if that was actually the straw that broke the camel's back or the whole decision was made on that, but Panther Racing made the decision that, hey, we're no longer going to have J.R. Hillebrand as a driver. In fact, they took him out of the car and put in Ryan Briscoe. So let's talk a little bit about this week's doubleheader and get your thoughts on J.R. Hillebrand and Ryan Briscoe.
I think the doubleheader idea is a great idea. You know, they got to shake up. IndyCar has been struggling ever since '95, really, with the breakup. And anything they can do to make it different and capture open wheel fans' imagination again and get them back interest is a good thing. You know, NBC Sports carrying all the races, good thing. Some of the different qualifying schemes they come up with, along with heat races, good thing. A doubleheader, even if it's anywhere, whether it's a big speedway or a mid-sized speedway or a road course or wherever they do it, I think it's a good thing. I kind of like the idea that they're doing two different things. Twitterless Tom was lobbying for us to go running up there to Detroit, and if Cliff and I didn't have things to do this weekend, we were seriously thinking about taking a quick run up there because that's not far from home here. So I think it's a pretty good idea, and we'll see how it all shakes out. You know, I on the weekends I can't get enough racing anyway. So, and the J.R. Hildebrand thing, premature. I think firing a guy in midseason is just not good for the continuity of the team. They're going to have, if they have a little bit of success here and there, they're going to top that decision and say, hey, this is the right thing. We made the right move and stuff. They forget that, 2 years ago, this kid came within 700 yards of winning the Indy 500. Come on. Mm-hmm. I think that unless there's some internal strife there that you and I don't know about, I'm never a big fan of dumping a guy mid-season for whatever reason, unless there's some serious, serious issues going on inside the team that we can't get our hands on. So I think it's kind of dumb. Although, Ryan Briscoe, he's a pretty good wheel man himself. That's not a bad replacement if you got to replace somebody for some reason. But I'm just not a big fan of firing coaches in midseason, getting rid of drivers in midseason. I just think it's usually a bad decision that comes back to bite you in the backside by the end of the year.
Well, and absolutely, and I think it was handled in the wrong way, and we're going to put this up as our poll of the day on the balance on our Twitter, T-Balance. But really, what are your thoughts about J.R. Hildebrand and Panther Racing releasing? Was it premature? Was it not premature? What are your thoughts about that? And retweet your thoughts, and we'll try to get those on as we go. So that'll be our poll of the day. What about J.R. Hildebrand being released from Panther? We want to know your thoughts. Tweet us at T-Balance. Well, Kenny, Charlotte, May 26, 2013. We'll get into some of the other things, but obviously it was not a good day if you were a team owner and you were looking at mass destruction on the track. We'll listen to the soundbite and we'll be right back.
He's got a problem there.
Yellow's out.
In the wall goes Dale Earnhardt Jr. and Greg Biffle.
Get low. All right,
33. The caution flag of the night. And
oh, another car. Yeah,
heavy damage to Dave
car.
Blaney.
A couple other cars involved in this.
Jr., Biffle, and Blaney, and there may be more.
Well, Biffle's been having his hands full with his car all night long. If we can get an idea of what happened here, Larry. Oh, here you go, the 88. You see the smoke coming out of the 88? Something's wrong with his, either the engine in the car or an oil line or something, because he's got a lot of smoke and I think fluid coming out of the car, and that's where this all gets started.
I think that was Biffle right behind him, up and into the wall, is the number 16, the Ford of Biffle.
But if he indeed has an engine issue, we've already talked about Kyle Busch in the 18. I think he may have went to the garage area. That was the concern, the speeds, the pace of this race.
Now a T-bone crash following that involving Travis Kwapel in the number 93 Toyota and Dave Blaney.
Well, Mike, there was definitely a lot of oil. You saw that smoke coming out of the 88 car. That was where all the oil and fluid came out on the track, and then these guys had no control over their cars. Yeah, we had talked to a number of engine people, and they were really worried about how many RPM they were turning here tonight.
So you can see the paint from the wall on the side of Blaney's car and parts coming down the track, a brake rotor breaking into pieces from Kwapel's impact, but Travis Kwapel hit something pretty hard.
Yeah, well, you can't, when you hit that oil, I mean, you can't slow down. It's like hitting ice, and it just picks up speed, really.
Kyle Busch is climbing out.
All right, a little sound bite from the action out at Charlotte, and just destruction everywhere. And we didn't play the sound bite, but Danica was involved in a wreck as well. So not a good night for team owners and their cars out at Charlotte, Kenny.
No, it's not. It's bad. And I don't feel bad for the big teams that have piles and piles of money because they spend money like drunken sailors anyway. But the mid-tier teams or the one-car teams and stuff, those are the guys I just every time something goes bad as far as an accident goes, excuse me, I feel really bad for them because, you know, it just they're not on a shoestring budget, but they're on a shoe budget. I mean, it's pretty tight, and you want them to make the show every week and do good things and be successful. And when they start tearing up equipment like that all the time, it just breaks my heart. I guess I've fixed too many race cars and had to rebuild them for stupid stuff or stuff that you're not even, you know, you're the innocent victim of that just tears me up. You know, even that camera thing, the cable came down. Although it hit a Toyota, some other things, I felt bad for even Kyle Busch over that deal.
Well, absolutely, and here's the thing: you heard him talking about it in the soundbite that the speeds may be contributing to a lot of this. Are we getting to a point where speeds, as fans, and that's what this show's built around, is the fans' thoughts and opinions, and we love speed. And certainly NASCAR's come under a lot of criticism with their restrictor plate and, you know, really making this a not an exciting race anymore. And NASCAR's really had the lion's share of the fan audience for years. But a lot of fans are saying, well, you know, if they can't get the speeds and if there ain't going to be passing, if there ain't going to be the big ones, then we're just not completely interested. But do you think that the speeds, trying to get the speeds, plays a major factor in the pile-ups and the wrecks and so forth?
Well, yes and no. I mean, what they need to do with the speeds thing and the restrictor plate thing is, I had an opinion in the beginning of the year, and I was reminded by a couple of old race friends of mine that are much more experienced, much more wiser than I, said what they need to do is let the drivers tell them, we're going too fast, we're getting uncomfortable, this is getting dangerous. Don't dictate restrictor plates. Stay away from a lot of these aerodynamic rules that you're coming up with. And I have an opinion about that I'll have to share with you here later in the show. But let the racers decide when too fast is too fast. And, you know, they'll let you know. I mean, part of the appeal of racing is taking these cars to the edge of danger and a little bit beyond. And when you start taking a car that you know will run 230 at Talladega and running it down to 190 and 170, 180, that takes some of the appeal away for the fans. Now, on the flip side of that, Tom, I've seen fans have as much fun and cheer just as hard and enjoy racing in these support divisions that I also help broadcast or announce at various racetracks around the Midwest, in front-wheel drive cars that are only going half the speed as your super late models. And I don't think fans really, there's a certain clique of them that are hot to trot on the speed. You know, if you're not going 200, it ain't a race. Well, BS, you know. These guys are going 80, but if they're nip and tuck or they're three deep or they're, you know, really putting on a good show, I don't think the fans give a shooby-dooby if you're going 200, if you're going 80. I've seen people go absolutely nuts over a front-wheel drive class that has four or five guys with a chance to win on the last lap. So too much is made about how the speed, and you got to go 200 all the time. But when you get on the big super speedways and it's expected, let the drivers tell you, we're going too fast. Let's try and come up with a way to slow these down. And then take input from them on how to slow them down. I think that's where they ought to do that.
Well, and I guess that I'm mixed on that. You know, you want to see speeds, and you want to see you really want to see that. That's why we like racing. I mean, that's why we come to the tracks. But at the same time, you want safety. And now that brings me to another completely different subject. And you mentioned it, and I wasn't ignoring it. It was a very serious. They could have been a lot worse. Certainly, a lot worse for Fox Sports. Cable breaks above the track. Now, obviously, I'm sure that Fox is investigating that, as well as Charlotte Motor Speedway. The event happened at the Coca-Cola 600, where really one of those cameras that zip across the track and try to keep up speed with the cars snapped and broke. So maybe, you know, it brings to another conversation here about the amount of coverage that the fans, hey, we want to see all of this. So at the same time, not that this happens very often, but you look at it happening once, and it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a lot serious, especially if it was more than just the cable and it was the actual camera itself when it zips over that. Do you think that there should be certain regulations for safety from the media? Because in many cases, you know, at these races, they've got the boom cranes. They've got a lot of different cameras that if something was to go wrong, a lot of fans could seriously get hurt. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I was reading a little something real quick. I'm multitasking this morning.
I understand.
I do good when I wake up late. But, you know, that's a great question, Tom. I haven't really thought too much about it here. But I've seen that camera fall at NFL games, too. And thankfully, it's never hit anybody. The whole thing went ka-thud at some game or another. And I forget what it was. They need to make sure that they're not part of the results of any contest, whether it's the NBA or the NFL or racing or what have you. And maybe this overhead cam thing has probably crossed the edge a little bit too much. Or the reporters getting into the pits, excuse me, and getting in the way of the guys doing their thing, or diving in there, getting that interview a little bit too early, a little bit too quick. So I think there ought to be a line, really, and the media should know where that line is and respect it. That overhead camera thing, that's such a fluke. That's such a weird thing. NASCAR did a great thing by stopping the race and letting them fix what was tore up. And then they all put a time limit on it, too, so they didn't give them this ultimate amount of time to actually get in there and fix things. I thought that was a very, very good decision.
Well, in all fairness to Fox Sports, not coming down on them. It just happened to be their network. But they did, in a statement, in a press release that they released on Sunday night, said that they really don't know what caused the accident, but they have suspended the use of the camera system indefinitely at this point. So at this point, they think that they certainly don't want that kind of liability on their hands. It just could have been a lot worse. And I'm a firm believer that if you catch situations like this early, you know, instead of brushing, it was just a minor accident, or the fluke thing, one of those things happen, and then something really bad happens. You know, it's an evolving issue with safety and fans. Fans want to be close to the action. Media want to get fans close to the action, especially since they have millions of viewers, which in turn come back to revenue and dollars, which brings me back to yet another conversation, and speaking of wrecks, and I didn't really get into this, but you know that there was an internal strife between Steinhaus and Danica in that wreck, because didn't her boyfriend cause that wreck out there at the Coca-Cola 600? So I don't want to really get into that, but, you know, we always got to bring up Danica, so we'll bring up Danica. Danica, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. caused that wreck between the two of them. Would you agree with that?
You know what? I didn't see it. I just read a little bit about it and stuff, so that would be an interesting conversation over dinner. But, you know, listen, we talked about this beginning of the year, I think both on your show and on Speed Talk, that these two eventually are going to get together on the racetrack, and something weird is going to happen. And we were hoping that the media didn't over-dramatize it or overplay it or overblow it. So far, they haven't done that and stuff, but it's an interesting sidebar. You know, who's going to take who out, and are they going to get out?
Her ass is so hot. I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
They're going to fight like a couple, an old married couple or whatever, and it's kind of interesting and stuff. But, yeah, I've heard Steinhaus was kind of an instigator of that whole crash. It's going to happen. I hope the media don't overblow it. I want to throw another twist in this conversation since we seem to be bouncing around, because it really is. All these topics are interesting and stuff, but how many times, Tom, during the course of a race do you hear aerodynamics and aero push and clean air and dirty air and et cetera, all the time, right? You're constantly hearing that from Waltrip and McReynolds and all the pundits that know everything. Now, did we not see Kyle Busch's car get a new right front fender and part of a right door that looked like 10 pages of Bear Bond stuck on it for the Coca-Cola 600? No way could that car have been aerodynamically correct, right?
Sure. Absolutely. None at all.
Now, how the hell did he go out there and lead more laps? So it makes you wonder just how much this aero thing really has to do with anything as opposed to driver, engine, and mechanical grip.
I agree with you 100%. And which brings us back to another conversation, which we'd have to debate another day. These fines that they're not hearing recently, but just earlier on in the season, they were putting down in post race situations and going through tech. How that happens. One other thing I want to talk about, and then we'll take a break and we'll get back and we'll talk about Dover. Here's the thing: NASCAR is beginning to take a closer look at its sponsorship deals. We've been so caught up with the month of May and a lot of other stuff, we just haven't really had a chance to get into this. But the thing about it is NASCAR and the NRA go hand in hand. But on the other hand, NASCAR is getting a lot of flack, i.e. the mainstream media, i.e. the broadcast networks, about some of their sponsorship deals. Let me ask you this: at what point do we draw the line on sponsorships? Or if we for example, let's just use this as an example. People are really upset about the NRA and its title sponsor out in Texas, and they shoot guns off and all of that stuff, and they get some nice pistols and stuff if they win, real pistols, the kind that you can shoot. People are all up in arms about that, but. You know, and I'm going to the extreme level here. But what if some political action organization wanted to sponsor a NASCAR about legalizing marijuana, and they had the money to put it on the car? Shouldn't a team owner be able to say, "Hey, that's my car. I can put whatever I want on there"? But no, NASCAR will say, "No, you can't do that because that's so politically incorrect." All I'm saying is, I'm not. Condoning legalizing marijuana, although I know all of our minions would love for me to go on that conversation about legalizing marijuana. It seems like whenever we talk about legalizing marijuana, it's just the listenership ticks just seem to go up. I'm not saying that. I'm just using that as an example. Could, in theory, could a team owner say, "Hey, you know, this guy, this political action committee is coming to me with this amount of money. They've got the same amount of money as the NRA does. We can put it on our car." So should there be should there be regulations to sponsorship if they're willing to spend the money?
Nope. I love doing
easy
that.
Answer to
the long questions. No, I don't think they should at all, Tom. And Richard Petty did the exact opposite for years and years and years, and I still don't think you'll ever see a beer sponsor or an alcohol sponsor on his cars. I mean, I think it should be purely up to the ownership of the team to decide who they're going to accept money from, who they're not going to accept money from. Politically correctness be damned. I'm to the point where I think we're way over politically correct anyway. I don't think that NASCAR should get their nose in that one at all.
Well, why do you think they don't call it the Winston Cup anymore? Why is it that you don't? You know, remember back in the day, you saw, and I'm going to go really retro on you, but you saw the Marlboro cars. You saw the Marlboro cars. You saw the cool cigarette cars. You saw that. But because it's so politically incorrect and so wrong for I'm not a smoker. I enjoy a good stogie, but I'm not a smoker. But I don't really have anything against those that do per se, and I certainly don't mind if Marlboro wants to advertise its product on NASCAR. I really could care less. So NASCAR says no because you're a cigarette company. You cannot be a part of us.
Well, this boils down to one of my mantras in life. You can't legislate morality. You can't do it. People are going to do what they want to do, whether it's against the law or not. I'm sure you can go to any street corner in America almost anymore, big cities of America, and buy any marijuana or anything you want. They got to quit trying to do that. You know, if a guy's going to go do something illegal or immoral, he's going to do it. You might as well somewhat embrace it to a degree, to make it legal, tax it, do whatever you need to do. And that's what they're trying to do there. They're trying to a certain way, a certain degree, regulate people's behavior. It ain't never going to happen. And from the dawn of time, it's not going to happen. If a guy wants to smoke, he's going to smoke. If a guy wants to drink, he's going to drink. If a guy wants to womanize, he's going to womanize. It's just the nature of human behavior, and they just need to stay the hell out of that whole business completely. And I will throw this invitation out. If you ever have a show where you want to talk about legalizing marijuana, I'd be glad to be on that with you. I got all sorts of opinions about that.
I think I'm going to take the pass token on that. Well, we're going to climb up our soapboxes here. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to be talking Dover right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Going down, I know I've done it before. Guess it won't quit, not this time around. I'm coming at you for more.
He said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Tired of hearing the same old racing shows?
Why listen to the same boring results with mundane robotic ticks?
Try Speed Talk. We're not your father's racing show.
We cover all racing with an edge.
Join the menage a trois of opinions, both crazy and legit.
Check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com to Balance and other local affiliates.
We cover national and local racing venues.
We include great interviews and occasionally throw in some history lessons.
That is Do You Know, Kenny.
Speed Talk, where entertainment is always a guarantee.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Head in the game. My name is Turbo. I just wanted to go a little faster.
Yes! 17 minutes! That's a new record!
Let's go, people! Pick it up!
Put all that racing nonsense behind you and start living your life!
I have a life? I wish I was fast. Oh no. What's happening to me?
Slow down for a second!
Are you kidding? I'm never going slow again!
This must be my lucky day.
A little far from home, aren't you? Garden snail.
You clearly got the skills to pay the bills. If snails had to pay bills, that is. I'm Whiplash. This here is my crew.
I'm fast, like a shadow.
But shadows, they're not inherently fast.
What shadow?
I can still see you.
With my brains and your speed, we should be destined for greatness.
The Indy 500.
This is ridiculous. A snail cannot race in a competition meant for cars.
Wow. Aren't you just a little ray of sunshine? All of these people, they believe in me.
guys are crazy.
Those guys are awesome.
I'm moving so fast, the whole world's going in slow motion, baby.
Whoa. If you think that's something, check this out.
Hey, you a robot?
Are you radioactive, homie?
Ooh, that's a new one.
$199 left, and baby, it all comes down to this.
Your talk show for NASCAR.
Yeah, now that's what I'm talking about.
The Balance Online.
Minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Saul Marquezel, Presidente. My crew chief for the next 20 minutes or so is Mr. Kenny Barr of Radio Speak Talk. Kenny, how are you doing, sir? Welcome back to The Balance.
No, I'm doing great. I found my misplaced Diet Dew, my iPad's fired up. Let's talk anything. I'm ready to go.
Let's talk anything. You know, I played the Turbo trailer. Had a really neat – you know, I mean, I love that movie. I'm going to go see that movie. And it was so cool to meet the director and the voice of Turbo at the Indianapolis 500 on the red carpet. I got a picture with them. I got to interview them. How cool was that for DreamWorks to team up with IndyCar? You talk about cross-promotion and finding something that works. I think that's going to really help IndyCar.
Yeah, I like that little soundbite. I don't know how to do that, but I'd love to have it in the intro of a show. Those guys are awesome. Those guys are crazy. Whatever they said in there, I heard that during the break. I went, "Hey, that's pretty good. I like that."
Well, I will learn you sometime, and I will do anything I can do to make your show sound good, as long as your show doesn't sound better than my show. I'm kidding, of course.
Well,
of course.
I actually got a lesson. A friend of mine coming over Monday night, and I'm gonna learn a couple more new things here as far as the editing and cut and paste, and where you can steal those little sound bites and not get in trouble legally. So that's happening Monday night. Maybe I'll learn a little something something by then.
A little something something. All right,
yeah.
Let's talk a little Dover. Of course, Darrell Wallace Jr. Lands on the truck pole out at Dover. Obviously, the truck race is now over and complete with Kyle Busch winning and Matt Crafton and Ryan Blaney. Real quickly, as we recap the truck race out at Dover. Go ahead.
Thanks. I didn't see it. I was busy with life and stuff.
Maybe I need to from crew chief to tire changer. How about that?
Well, maybe it was nut picker upper or something. I'll do a little of everything. But I do have an opinion about the boys going down, the Cup guys going down a Nationwide in truck. If they need to do that for sponsorship obligations, okay, let them do it. But Twitterless Tom Wolf came up with a great idea, and I've been touting it ever since. If you have declared that you're going to be a points race or a points garnerer for Cup only, and you go down to Nationwide or you go down to truck, you don't get any prize money. Spread that prize money out amongst the people who are dedicated to trucks or dedicated to Nationwide, and maybe they'll have more participants, more people trying to come up the ranks because they can afford to race a little bit, and they'll have a lot less starting parts. I know that people want to see the Kyle Busches and various people get into these trucks and Nationwide cars and go, and the sponsors want their as much exposure on television as they possibly can. It's all about the TV money. We've talked about Joanna Long and the struggles of trying to get bigger money to help that team along and stuff, and it's all Billy Hutchinson, the director of PR for that team, tells me that it's all about the TV. All about the TV and how many seconds you're actually on camera and stuff. So I get it as far as a sponsorship. If they're going to dump millions of dollars, they want as much exposure as they possibly can. So let them race. Just take away their prize money. I'd rather see guys that are trying to come up the ranks like Wallace Jr. and the Ryan Blaney's and stuff. Who, by the way, he's a heck of a racer, him and Ross Kenseth both. Those guys are really good. You're going to hear those names down the road. I'd like to see them come up through the ranks and watch them develop and get better as they go. And they need to be able to afford that. If you don't have the big-dollar sponsors for every single race, there's no way to get into every race. They need to have some of that prize money to help them get through the season, make the budget balance kind of thing. So truck racing is fun. We're looking forward to going down to Eldora here. You going to go down there?
You know, I thought about it, but, you know, I've got so many things going on now, and my shift in my full time daily work with Gannett and stuff that I've got going on there, I'll have to actually see how that can pan out. That might be a game day decision, but Gannett pays the bills. Gannett's my team owner, if you will, so I kind of got to go along with what they say. But if I can make it happen, I'll make it happen. How's that sound?
Yeah, I understand. You just got that blended that gig, too. That's a pretty good gig for you. I'm proud of you. Congratulations on that, by the way. We never did get to tell you that.
And, thank you. It was good to get the Gannett deal and finally get it put together. It took a while for it to come together, and it was a process, a long process. But it's a great company, and I'm proud to be a part of that. But speaking of drivers getting better, Austin Dillon, we followed this young lad. We knew him way back when he was nobody. Even if he does want to be like Kyle Petty in his cowboy hat, Austin Dillon was the fastest in single nationwide practice at Dover, the only driver to hit a speed of 152.433, the best lap of 23.61. shot him to the top of the leaderboard with less than 5 minutes left in the practice session. Dillon ran a total of 58 laps, getting his top speed second to last. So Austin Dillon, this kid, I'm going to tell you, we've said this and we will continue to say this, he's a champ in the making.
Yep, both of them are. And Grandpa raised him right. They started him out on dirt in cars that you just couldn't drive, you know, with hard tires and skinny tires and overpowered horsepower. And it's way easier when you're coming up and learning how to drive race cars to start on dirt and go to asphalt as opposed to the other way around. And I think that's really smart. I mean, the people, they start out in go-karts, and then they got to go to dirt. You can go right down the line and see guys who have done that. Jeff Gordon is a perfect example. He had TQ Midgets, and his dad actually built a racetrack on some public grounds so he could practice anytime he wanted to, and the only time he wasn't allowed to is when they had something scheduled at the park at the time. Otherwise, he could go practice there all the time. Dirt, and he learned how to run sprints, midgets and stuff. J.J. Haley, Dave Blaney, Carl Edwards. The list goes on and on and on about guys who came from dirt and went to asphalt and can really run well. And that's what Grandpa did with the Dillon boys. They started out with dirt and they learned what car feel was all about and what tires could and couldn't do for you. So,
well,
they're going to be tough.
Absolutely, and we look at the nationwide race there in Dover, obviously gearing up for the big race out in Dover tomorrow. But today, Austin Dillon takes the track. Let's break down the Dover race, and really, let's break Austin Dillon. We've not had an opportunity here recently to talk much about the nationwide series, but really, Austin Dillon has really made a huge imprint in the nationwide series.
Yeah, sure. You know, he's got top shelf equipment. He's a good driver. He's got great mentors. He's got everything going for him and stuff. And they're planning on moving him up to chain of command. It should come as a surprise to absolutely nobody that he is doing as well as he's doing and stuff. There's not a lot more you can say about that. I mean, Richard Childers is grandpa, and his dad was a racer. He was a short track racer for quite a while, so he's just got the pedigree. It's like anybody who is a second generation anything. I'm trying to think of the broadcaster whose kid's so good at it now that used to broadcast the Cardinals games, the old guy and then his kid.
Oh, anybody should know this. Buck, Joe and Bob Buck, that's what you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, you know. That's a perfect example of how it just gets better as generations go along and stuff. And that's what you're seeing with these Dillon kids. And I'm not so sure that the younger one isn't a little bit better than the older one. We'll just have to sit back and see. And that's the beauty of it, Tom. The race is going to be around long after you and I disappear, and we'll just have something to talk about every Saturday morning for the rest of our lives.
Well, that's good. I like that. So let's break down the nationwide race real quick. What are the key things you're looking for, the X factors, and what can we look for in a nationwide race out in Dover today?
Well, you got to be patient at Dover. You know, it's a tricky racetrack. It's surprisingly fast. It'll get you in trouble. Tires are always something you got to watch for. Tire management. Don't get too crazy smoking them off the car, because you can be fast early and very, very slow late. And obviously, you don't want to get caught up. You got to make sure you're looking ahead at Dover. One thing that a lot of racers forget, or a lot of fans forget, is you're just not in there driving looking at the guy in front of you or the clean air in front of you. You got to look at about a third or as far as you can see ahead of you to make sure you don't get yourself into trouble or drive into trouble kind of thing. So the in-car cameras are beautiful. I love them. They really, truly do give you the view that the drivers have. But it's like watching a basketball game. Basketball is really played away from the basketball, but nobody watches that. They always watch the ball where it's at. But the whole game is played away from the ball. Racing is somewhat the same way as you're driving. You need to look always, always at the corner in front of you as you're blasting down the straightaway to make sure you don't get yourself into trouble. And Dover, the way it's configured and stuff, it's a little bit hard to see everything in there. So you got to be a little bit careful. That's why some of the crashes happen when they do. Dover's also a self-cleaning track. So if there is a big crash in front of you, and that sounds funny, a self-cleaning track, but things have a tendency to slide down the banking. So if you and I get in a crash like Danica and Ricky do, and they smack the outside wall, and then Cliff is coming up behind us because he's so slow, he's half got behind us. The smart thing for him to do is actually aim for the crash scene, because by the time he gets there, the car's going to slide out of the way. So that's kind of stuff you need to watch for at Dover. I wish that the cameras wouldn't show the leaders all the time, because there's an awful lot of good racing goes on.
Absolutely.
7th, 12th, 15th.
Right. Especially there in the middle of the pack. Well, we're going to move on here, but real quickly, Kyle Busch aiming for a three-time race sweep at Dover. So spent much of his practice atop the leaderboard. Of course, we just talked about Austin Dillon taking care of that with his fastest lap, 23.918 on his 10th lap. He fell second to Reagan Smith, ran faster, continuing to fall until he landed in 8th as practice wound down. So Kyle Busch in the Nationwide Series is going to have a three-time winner?
Maybe. You know, he's one of the best wheel men that are out there, and they make good adjustments. And it doesn't seem to matter which crew chief or which chassis or which division he's in. He's usually up front all the time. And, of course, you know, his money lets him buy the best equipment there is, but you still got to drive the race car. You still got to make the right decisions, and you still got to not burn the tires off the car. Kyle Busch is starting to mature slowly but surely. And we talked about this a little bit on Speed Talk, too, this week, that everybody needs to remember that everybody hated Darrell Waltrip for a long time. Everybody hated Rusty Wallace for a long time. And Kyle Busch is going through that same long-term process that a lot of people don't like him. But when he gets older and he starts winning races and he quits busting up Sam Bass guitars in Victory Lane and making these foolish prepubescent decisions about how he's going to behave sometimes, he's going to go down in the annals of racing as one of the best that ever wheeled a NASCAR car and stuff. And it just shows, because he's up front all the time in whatever the heck he's driving. So very good race driver. And eventually he'll grow up and give us, you know, we'll talk about him every Saturday, too, if we want to.
Well, you know what? I enjoy Kyle. Obviously, we see him in limited other races, but we also see him a lot in the truck series and obviously the Nationwide Series. The Nationwide Series at Dover. Practice today at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., the Nationwide Series qualifying at 1 o'clock. The race, the green flag flies. I'm sorry, 2:30. The race flag flies at 1:30, I believe, is the final practice. And then tomorrow, I'm sorry, let me get this right. 1 o'clock is the final practice for tomorrow's race for Sprint Cup. See, there's just too many races on one track for me to keep track of. But tomorrow, the big Sprint Cup race out at Dover. You know, and you were talking about Jeff Gordon a while ago. Jeff Gordon, you know, just really recently, basically in a word, said his 2013 season is terrible. He qualified 20th for Sunday's tomorrow's sprint car race out at Dover International Speedway. He is currently 15th in the standings after his did not finish. Of the last year's weekend of the last weekend's Coca-Cola 600. Jeff Gordon, let's just get this out there. This is his last year. He's going to retire. I believe that's going to be the case. He's not going to make that official. A lot of people don't agree with me. A lot of people just plain don't want to see Jeff Gordon get off the track. I think he's going to focus more on team ownership and more of the administrative and executive side of racing as opposed to being an actual race car driver after this year.
Well, you know, Tom, that's an interesting thought because I hadn't heard that yet. Apparently I missed some broadcasts of The Balance. Shame on me. But the
you always hear it first here on The Balance.
That is an interesting thought, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. Look, he's done about all you can do, short of chasing Petty and Earnhardt's records. I mean, what else does Jeff Gordon have to do to prove himself in racing? Absolutely nothing. What's the next common sense level that you're going to go to? Ownership, which he's already got it. I mean, he owns JJ's car and team, for heaven's sake, and stuff. He's still got huge endorsement deals going on. He's hot enough now where he should be able to work the angles and bring the sponsorship monies in and stuff. And there's so many good young guns coming up that maybe it's time for these guys to start getting out of the driver's seat a little bit earlier than they have been in the past. The money is good enough where they can retire financially. It's not like they have to race till they're 50 or 55 to have money to do it. That's an interesting thought and wouldn't surprise me a bit. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. I would. It's a dangerous sport. And you're married now. You got kids now. You got other responsibilities. You're not the single guy who's a bulletproof Superman that will stick that car in places you probably shouldn't stick that car. That's an interesting thought, and I have to tend to agree with you, Tom. I think maybe that he might, if not this year, next year, crawl out of the car and start pursuing a little bit safer lifestyle.
Right, and I could agree with you more. I wish we had more time to get into that, but one thing for sure, you always hear it first right here on The Balance. And we will come back and we'll play this soundbite right, when Jeff Gordon announces the retirement at the end of the year. I don't know that to be official. That's just an educated guess. Well, we're running really out of time here. We're up against the clock here. Then we got to get to meet our makers. Kenny Barr, which you're more than welcome to hang around for. But I do want to get your thoughts. Dover. The big boys racing out there at Dover. Give me your thoughts. Give me what to look for. Who's going to come out on top? Who's the X Factors? Who's the dark horses? Just give me your Dover rant, sir.
Well, how do you bet against Matt Kenseth right now? I mean, he's just hot as hot can be. Denny Hamlin is determined and as firm as anybody can possibly be at this point. And the normal pundits will be there. I'll be about 5 minutes, Kirby. And then I just have my starting lineup here. Let me pull that baby up again here. There's a couple of names that kind of surprised me on this thing. Scroll, and I got to make it bigger. You know what? The beautiful thing about an iPad is you can make it bigger and read it when your eyes are going bad when you're getting older, Tom. That's a great thing. You know who I'd like to see? Tony Stewart. Finished, what, 7th or 8th at the Coca-Cola 600? It's now June. Keep an eye on Tony Stewart. This is his time of year. When things get hot, he usually starts winning races, and he is down further than he's been in years. I think this is probably the worst actual first third or first section of the season he's had forever. And I think Tony Stewart and them are going to right the ship. I think they expanded a little bit too quickly. There's too much media attention to Danica. They don't have the puzzle pieces in place as well as they have in the past. I think he's going to get all that fixed. They didn't change any personnel, but they've had a couple come to Jesus meetings there, and I think they're going to get that thing fixed. Keep an eye on, there was one other one that I thought was, Austin Dillon's got a ride this week, and he's driving with Phoenix Construction Chevy. Who else was I thinking about? I was prepared for this question. Can't you tell? Wow.
I know. What is up with
Charles? Charles Edwards.
I wish we had time to get more into it. Obviously, next week we'll jump into the recap of Dover and so forth. So, Kitty Barr, what's going on Radio Speed Talk this week? Where can people find your work, your masterpieces, and stalk you on Twitter?
Well, you can stalk me on Twitter at KennyBarr52. I'm in an interesting little Twitter back and forth with a very good friend of mine named Sean McBride, who broadcasts some football here in this area and stuff. If you want the humor between two guys that probably don't know what the heck they're talking about, it's there at KennyBarr52. You could have stalked me at Angola Motor Speedway tonight, but I got a note that they just canceled, which really bums me out because of my whole day has been planned around that, so I guess I'm going to have to watch the nationwide race. Speed Talk, we review Indy, we review Charlotte. What did we do and do you know? Something we didn't even talk about, which I thought was one of the cool storylines of the whole thing, that the Lucky Charm that Tony Kanaan popped out of his fire suit in Victory Lane. The young lady who exchanged that thing, she was from Decatur, Indiana, which is one of our neighbors here originally. We talk about superstitions and lucky charms in racing, and a whole lot more. We even got Twitterless Tom on a soapbox about something. I forget what it was. You just have to check that at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
All right, Kitty Barr, we'll do that. And you can hear Radio Speed Talk right here on the Balance Radio Network tomorrow afternoon. Kitty, we'll talk to you next week, and you have yourself a very good week.
Yeah, you too, Tom. Thanks for having me, and enjoy being on the show. And now I lost my phone completely. This is a heck of a morning.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Kitty Barr, Radio Speed Talk. Always a pleasure to have him on board with us. We are wrapping up our racing, guys. We've come to a checkered flag. And, yes, of course, we always are the winner. Right here on the Balance Radio Network, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Stand by. We'll be back to meet your makers right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Wow, did you see that nice set on her?
Yeah, I sure did.
Guys, hello?
Nothing like a fresh set of rubber speeding down the backstretch.
Man, you gotta love the smells of racing.
Speed Talk. That's what you'll get with this crew.
Check us out, RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Speed Talk, where you can hear all about all genres of racing. We'll include great interviews and opinions. Catch the gang on your local affiliate. Checks for times and listings.
Check out all there is to know at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
It's time to go racing. It's May and it's Indy. The Indianapolis 500 is here.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution. IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Okay, it's time to slow down here on The Balance and meet your makers. Tom talks with Brad and Chris from Tecure, a food anthology. You can visit them on the web at tecurefood.com to find out more about them and this worthy cause. Now here's your host, Tom Marquis.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. As we do every week right here on the Balance Radio Network, we take some time to talk with Brad, Chris, who's on a journey across the nation. We always like to catch up with them and find out what they've been up to, talk about their adventures of the week and what they've got going on in this next week. So joining us now is Brad and Chris from Go ahead, Brad and Chris. I'm sorry, I got tongue-tied there. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, Tom. Tecure, a food anthology. That's
there we
are.
Go.
That's
I got doing. It. Tecure, a food anthology. How's it going, guys?
Not too much. We're here in just outside of Richmond, Virginia, where a gracious friend has housed us for evening, allowed us to get outside of the van for a moment. And, yeah.
And it is hot down here. It is a cicada summer, and the cicadas are noisy. It's solid 95 degrees. Exciting to be in the South, Tom.
I love the South. Let me tell you, that is where my heart bleeds, is for the South. And I tell you what, you talk about the Canadians, they are good sleeping. You get to sleep at night with them. Can you hear them at night just going at it?
Oh yeah, they go crazy. I mean, all day long, all night long. I don't know. I don't think they sleep at all.
You don't get to hear them very much here in Indiana, and I know you don't get to hear them very much there in Boston. They only come out every so many years.
Right, yeah, like 17 or something, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, guys.
They're not edible, though, speaking of food.
Well, maybe you guys could round some up, cook them up in some sort of a broth or something.
Yeah.
A basic.
It's probably a local delicacy. We should really look into that.
Well, I know you guys have been on the road, and last week we had a lot going on with being out at Lucas Oil Raceway. So let's just catch up and let's just recap. You guys started your journey. Talk with us about the start of your journey. Just give us a brief recap, and we'll get into the talking points of the day. But go ahead and give us a brief recap of your journey so far to date, and we'll get into all the things you've done this past week here as soon as you do that. So go ahead and give us a recap of what you guys have done this since you started. Maybe some things that we haven't talked about. Maybe, Brad, you could tell us something that Chris has done, and Chris, you could tell us something that Brad's done. Or just something unusual that's happened.
Yeah, okay. So the quick recap is we left Boston on May 19th and went to Western Massachusetts, worked with a cattle, pig, and poultry farmer, headed to Rhode Island where we worked as an oysterman, and then a Long Island winery, then a Brooklyn, New York chocolatier. Then we headed down to Philly and said hi to Art and the Age, who does some root spirits, and Milk and Honey, who does some retailing of these products, as well as their own Urban Bees, which we remember you're quite the fan of. And then from Philly, we went to Chestertown, Maryland, where we checked in last week, and said hi, and then the next morning we got up bright and early, 4:30 a.m. It was a rough one.
Bakers are crazy, Tom.
I tell you what, they say the early bird gets the worm, and if you're going to be baking, you got to bake early because everybody else in the world loves the smell of fresh baked goods in the morning. It gets their day started, so you got to be ahead of the game a little bit. So you guys were there in Chestertown, Maryland. at Fermented Foods, and you guys bake some breads there. So talk with me about that experience.
Well, as we mentioned, it was pretty early. But Doug Ray down there at Evergreen Bread Company is one heck of a gentleman, and brought us into his bakery and showed us the ropes. It's quite a workout baking bread. You're
good.
Slinging around several pounds of dough at a time, picking it up, putting it back down, flipping it.
50-pound bags of flour. It's, you get a free gym membership when you become a baker.
But the whole day was pretty special. We made some baguettes and some pain au levain, some niche, kind of larger, rounder loaves. With him.
It was really cool, and Doug's a great guy, and I don't know if he mentioned it yet, but we have a camera system that called a GoPro, which is typically used for, like, extreme sports. Put it on your surfboard or wakeboard or something like that. So you get some really awesome, like, point-of-view fisheye lens action.
Sure,
and,
sure.
So we've been strapping it up to our artisans, and so we've got some really great, we piloted it on Doug, rolling out baguettes and kind of talking about the process. So we're hoping to get that launched on our website this week so you can see what it's like to literally be a baker.
Yeah, some point of view extreme baking.
That's right.
Boom. Hey, you know what? And we'll make sure that we get that out there. And you guys could go to www.tocurefood.com. And I would love to see that. And that is a great camera angle. I've seen that on various different things. And you guys may not know this, but that's the same camera that's mounted on IndyCars.
Oh, really?
Huh. It is.
It's
absolutely
a piece of equipment.
Yeah,
our car's not an Indy car, but we've mounted it on the van as well and done some point of view driving. But he only gets to about 45, 50 before he starts shaking.
Yeah. Anything over that, you can literally see the gas tank going down.
What's that fumes? Now, I know you guys, and we'll get into this here in a second, like to make beer, and you guys teach a little bit about making beer. Now, you guys were just at a baker. You guys didn't hide a bunch of bags of yeast in your van, did you?
No, we just didn't.
The only thing we did was get sent away with 30 pounds of bread. The entire back of Old Blue was just filled up with baked goods, so we've been handing them out pretty much every stop along the way since then, trying to dole out baked goods. Oh, you want some bread? Yeah, you're taking bread. I hope you like bread. Here you go. Here's 5 pounds. I think everybody's been warmly receptive to it because it is absolutely delicious.
Now, you guys went on to D.C., and you guys did some stuff with Comanche and Pickles in D.C. So talk with us about that.
Yeah, that's right. We hung out with a group of folks called Number One Sons outside of D.C. And they're doing some really cool, really traditional kimchi, pickles, kraut, just a lot of really old school techniques for brining and pickling things. And so whereas most things are pickled with the vinegar, which is kind of the quick and easy solution, these guys, they just have a bacterial starter culture, which basically means there's live bacteria in there that converts sugars into acid, and that does the pickling and, allows the food then to be preserved. But they make some really awesome stuff. It was a fun experience. I was really kind of unfamiliar with that process. I never really had a fermented pickle, quite frankly, and it is leaps and bounds better.
I wonder if you could incorporate that into beer and make a pickled beer.
You may well. I know he strongly encouraged us to eat these fermented foods with alcohol. It seemed to be his pairing of choice. And so we're going to have to check that out.
You see the theme that I'm going with here. I take a little bit of something. I mean, each place you start and make a beer out of it.
Yeah,
make it
a pure road trip brewery series. I think that's solid.
There you go, and the micro brew, and it may work, it may not work. And hey, you guys got some old socks you can filter the beer through. Some micro brew does taste like it's filtered through old socks anyway. So they're
when it's done right, only when it's done right, Tom.
Absolutely. Well, you guys, speaking of beer making, you guys did teach a beer and cheese tasting workshop also as a fundraiser, and you talked with some local food grocers about their challenges. So talk with me about some of that.
Yeah, we met up with some folks in Washington, D.C., and Brad and I Came out of Chestertown, Maryland, and went straight to Glenn's Garden Market in, I believe, 20th, West 20th, North 20th, one of the 20th in D.C., and picked up some local cheeses and local beers. The market itself sources all of its stock from within the Chesapeake Bay watershed, which is pretty cool. So it was all local beer, all local cheese, and brought it to these folks' house in D.C. and sat down with them and explained the brewing and cheese-making process. It was a learning experience for us as well, because we hadn't experienced a lot of these beers and cheeses being local to this area. But we understand the styles involved and the labors that go into them. So it was a fun event.
Now, you guys
also
had an opportunity to go to a pretty cool goat dairy. Now, I want to know how this comes and ties together. You went to a pretty cool goat dairy where you actually saw peacocks mating. There's got to be a story behind that, how you ended up at a goat dairy and got to see peacocks mating.
You know, it's just a stroke of luck, Tom. It's a stroke of luck. So we were there, and we got out of the van. It's 6 in the morning. We've been up for a couple of hours. We're still a little delirious. But we get out of Old Blue on this beautiful farm in, Caramont Farm in Virginia, south of Charlottesville. We're like, I'm pretty sure that's a peacock right there. And eventually, Gail, the owner, comes out. She's like, no, that's the peahen. The peacock's right there. And so then we see the peacock, with his full bloom out, trying to show off his lady friend. And so apparently that's a pretty regular process. He's, trying to show her what's up, even though it's only them two on the farm. It's not like she's going anywhere. But, so he was doing his thing, and we were just taking some pictures because we didn't really expect to get peacocks and Old Blue in the same frame. So that was pretty exciting. And apparently he got a little excited, too. And one thing led to another, and we got some good photos of it, Tom.
Peacock porn! Hey, and I learned something. I learned something new. I didn't know there was such thing as a peacock hen. So let me get this straight here. The female is called the peacock hen.
And the male
is actually the peacock.
Yes, and apparently their children are pea chicks.
So the cock meets the hen, creates the chick.
You know, it's somewhat counterintuitive, but that is exactly right.
Well, we could go on with this. See, here's the thing about our audience. We have that male juvenile humor going on with our audience. The minions have that male juvenile humor. So, anytime we can incorporate peacock porn on our show, I'm all about it, man. I'm all about it. Well, you guys went off on down to Williamsburg, one of my favorite cities, by the way. I'm a big historical buff, history buff. Love Williamsburg. And you went to a winery down there. Talk with us about your trip to Williamsburg. Let's get away from the peacock porn.
Well, before you get there, too, also at the same farm on the same day, we witnessed a goat being born as well.
There you go. So, sorry about that. Go ahead.
That was much more of a kind of a – it was truly a special experience because, honestly, I had never seen anything being born before. And so it was really nice to get – we're kind of talking about food chains and where things come from. And it was just really great to be there at the moment of life. And we're hoping Chris and I to be, present at a slaughter as well. So at some point in our adventure here, to where we can really see that full spectrum of life and death and what it really takes to create food that we consume every day, but sometimes uncritically. But if you keep an eye to the fact that, these were once oftentimes living things, I think you build a better relationship with your food. But then we made it down to Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm. Williamsburg is my stomping ground. I went to William & Mary for my undergraduate degree and actually spent some time working at the Williamsburg Winery after I graduated, so it was a nice homecoming for me. We chatted with Matthew, the head winemaker there, and he showed us around the property and took us down to the barrel cellar. We did some barrel tastings, so wine straight out of the barrels. And it's amazing to see, if you take a Malbec grape juice and put it into French oak barrels and American oak barrels and Hungarian oak barrels of different kind of ages and uses, to see how that barrel really influences the winemaking process is pretty incredible. A French oak barrel is going to be something much, much smoother And that American oak barrel is going to be a lot more robust, a little bit more oak character, a little bit more vanilla tone. It was really, really interesting to learn from him and just sample straight from the barrels.
Yeah, and we got a little bit of that on camera as well, so we're hoping to get that uploaded onto our website upcoming.
Well, just remember, when you come here in June, samples, we will be doing live samples on the air with you, and it is our intentions to meet up with you in June to have you guys live on the show with us and throughout the entire show. So that is our intentions, and we hope to work the details out on that. But either which way, we're definitely going to be hooking up with you in June. And so, you know, just put back the balanced sample of everything as well. Well, you guys got everything up on your website there, www.tocurefood.com. I tell you what, I got your site up here right now. I love the photos that you've got on there. Oh, oysters, come walk with us. And a lot of pictures and a lot of great little articles that you guys have written and put together. Let's talk about your website here, www.tocurethefood.com. You've got the anthology on there, Food for Thought interactive map, which I think is really, really cool, especially for those that want to follow you around. So talk with us about www.tocurethefood.com.
Yeah, so to start with that map, that's a project we're working with, Source Map out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. They do supply chain mapping, so they basically map where foods come from and where they go and how much energy and resources are put into them. So we're taking their platform and tweaking a little bit for our purposes and putting down the producers that we visit, our current location, and the places that we will be heading in the near future. And I'll be updating that this afternoon once I get a stable internet connection. But every couple days, you'll see an update and you'll see it point ahead 4 or 5 days into our future. You can also click on any of the points that we visit, and it'll bring up a short description of the producer. It'll bring up any video that we have associated with them, as well as a link to either our website article about them, or if we haven't written something yet, it'll be to their homepage. So it's a nice interactive way of following the trip and checking in on the producers that we spotlight.
Definitely, definitely. And speaking of the interactive map, hopefully we'll get a chance to do a little update today. And we'll have five more planned stops here in our near future. We're going to Day Spring Farm, south of Williamsburg. Then we're going to Full Steam Brewery. Really excited about that. They're doing some really cool stuff in North Carolina. We have Anson Mills, which is doing some really interesting grains, like really heirloom, like rices and grits and things like that here in North Carolina. And then we're going to hopefully be visiting a barbecue sauce maker in Charleston, South Carolina. So we got some really fun things coming up here soon, and we're excited to chat with you more about those next week, Tom. But we're happy to be here in the South, like we said. But it is hot.
I love the South. I love the heat. You guys will have a great time out there as well. So here's the thing. I know hashtag. To cure food, is that your hashtag? What's your hashtag?
Our hashtag has been Meet Your Makers.
Hashtag Meet Your Makers. Gotcha.
Yep,
love it.
Like
love it.
Segment. Yep. And so you can find us on Twitter, Instagram at To Cure Food. We also have a Facebook page where we're posting a lot of our Instagram photos. Also get transferred to that Facebook page as well. And, we've got another, it says the 1st of June, so we've got another about 7 days left on our Indiegogo campaign, so you can find us on there as well. And we've got some really awesome pieces of swag from a lot of these producers. We're getting a lot of T-shirts, sweatshirts, glassware,
really great stuff,
bottle openers, things like that we're going to be sending out to the people that support us. Of course, there's still another 7 days, too, or you can always contact us if you want to do a beer and cheese pairing as well.
We'd be excited to come see you.
Well, all I know is that when you get to Indy, we want some of that swag, and we want to do a beer and cheese drinking with you and eating.
That sounds like a plan.
I think we can work that out, Tom. It sounds exciting.
I love having you guys a part of it. We're going to get you up all of our websites today. And also, I know that it's the intention to get you all the segments so that you can get that up on your website. And, Brad, your sister will probably be the one spearheading that, so we'll get all that. We'll get all that to you. I promise. Brad and Chris, Jukure, a food anthology, Meet Your Makers, a special segment here on The Balance, where we just take some time away from sports and just talk about a journey between two guys, really, and you said it best, creating a relationship between you and your food, which I love food. So there you go. I can't let you guys go, though. The Pacers play tonight. They play the Heat. Do they have enough in them to beat the Heat tonight, boys?
God, I hope so. It'd be really great to see the Pacers pull it out. But we also haven't mentioned TK won the race last week. Am I right?
That's right.
Am I right? My guy. I predicted.
That's right. Did you get a chance to at least catch the end of that race?
Unfortunately, no. We've had a number of people recap it for us in all its excitement. So I am well familiar on what occurred, but not exactly stable television access in the back old flu.
Not you don't have the motor coach satellite going on there, huh?
Unfortunately not. Maybe when we roll through Indy, you can get something like that set up for us.
Hey, you know what? You know what? I know people. I know people. See what we can do for you. All right, guys. I know you got to hit the road. Where are you headed this week?
Like Brad said, we'll be heading down to Williamsburg for round two, I think, today. I'm actually taking a break to catch up on some writing. I actually have a wedding I have to go to as well. So tomorrow we'll be down in King Queens County with a Dayspring Farm, Charlie Maloney and Miriam down there doing awesome diversified farm production. So we'll be chatting a lot of farm philosophy with Charlie. He's a great guy, an old mentor of mine. And then we'll be heading south down to the Raleigh-Durham area to see Full Steam and
Big Spoon. They do the nut butters company. So they make some really like awesome local harvested peanuts and things like that, almonds, cashews, and turning those into delicious butters. So we're hoping to shortly thereafter find a jam or marmalade maker so we can make some baller PB&J sandwiches.
I love it. Love it. You guys be safe out there. Now, also, I know you guys take donations as well. They can do all that through your website?
Yep, we do have a support page on our website, another one of those links. And if you have PayPal, you can connect through there and donate as much or as little as you want. Every little bit helps our trip and our mission, our documentary. So, you can do that again. We still have the Indiegogo going up for another 7 days. So that's another option. You can find that information on the website as well in the side column.
All right, guys. We'll talk with you next week. You have a safe week, and we look forward to catching back up with you next Saturday.
Sounds good, Tom. Pleasure as always.
All right. Brad and Chris from Jukure, a food anthology. Always, always good to just take a break, chill back a little bit, talk with these guys. We really enjoy supporting them. It really is for a good cause, and we appreciate them being a part. We're going to take a break. We'll get back. We're going to talk some NBA action. That's right. The Pacers, the Heat, and the Spurs are just sitting back waiting to see who they're going to play. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
He is Twitterless Tom Wolf.
He is Toyota Kenny Barr.
And that is Snapless Cliff Tanner.
Together, we're the team of Speed Talk.
And although our limited social skills may be lacking,
our racing knowledge and opinions are not.
If you want to know about local and national racing,
so check us out at RadioSpeedTalk.com.
While you're at it, catch us on The Balance and other local affiliates.
Speed Talk, where most shows don't even dare to tread.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
When the score was 4-2, Indiana has led by as many as 7. They're up here by 5. James with a beautiful spin to beat Hill. Stevenson, off balance, had to shoot it. Clock running out. Here's James ahead of the field. And puts it in. Here's James from in close. Pick and roll defensive plays by Miami. Agwin set the pick, and James able to drill it. Where it appeared that Miami was going to pull away, and Indiana would hang right in. James for three. But LeBron is in one of those streaks. And he seems to take a 3-2 lead back to Indiana for game six. James for the deep three. And it continues for LeBron James and the Miami Heat. He has 27.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
낮에는 따뜻한. All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Saul Mark with El Presidente. We are coming around to the last 30 minutes of the show. As always, it's great to have you on board. I want to thank Kitty Barr for joining us the first hour and talking some racing, some NASCAR out in Dover, as well as breaking down that big IndyCar race out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And our friends from Meet Your Makers, Brad and Chris. And what a fun group of guys they are, and we really are looking forward to connecting with them on a live basis. When they get here to Indianapolis to just talk about their adventures and things that they have been working on and trying to get done. But it's time to get some stuff done in the NBA. Time we start talking some NBA. Guys, hey, I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. And Michelle's going to put this up on our Twitter and our social media. 917-889-8516. I got some open phone lines. I want to talk about the Pacers. I want to talk about the Heat. Can the Pacers beat the Heat? Want to know what your thoughts are. 917-889-8516 or tweet us at TBalance. We want to know what it is. Can the Pacers beat the Heat? Can they? Can they not? We want to know. Why has the Pacers struggled so much with the Pacers? I mean with the Heat or why has the Heat not been able to sew it up? Whatever side of the fence that you're on, let me know. The San Antonio Spurs are sitting back. They're waiting. They're watching. They are preparing for both teams. But let's look at it like this. The more rest they have, maybe that helps them, maybe that hurts them. What are your thoughts? 917-889-8516. It's Indianapolis. The Pacers are back at the Fieldhouse, and they play the Heat tonight. Could they be eliminated tonight? Could it be all over for the Pacers again for this second year in a row because of the Miami Heat? I don't know about you guys. I'm a big Pacer fan. I live here in Indianapolis, so obviously I support my local teams, but I like the Pacers. I love the Colts. And I like to see the Pacers get somewhere. I want to see them prove something to everybody. What are your thoughts? It's been, I was talking, I was out at the cigar shop last night. I was talking with Tom, the owner out there at the cigar shop here in Indianapolis at Avon. We're talking about the Pacers. You know, here's the thing. The Pacers have been able, really, you look at the 20 quarters that have played, the Pacers have been able in a lot of ways to control the games and have better games. But what they haven't been able to do is control LeBron James. We don't need to focus on that. The Pacers need to focus on a better overall game instead of trying to just utilize a couple players. You're not going to be able to stop LeBron James. That's not going to happen. He's on a completely different level. What you have to do is force them to play Pacer ball on our level. And we probably will have the ability to do that tonight out at the field house there, out at Baker's Life. We probably do. I still want to call that Conseco. It still kind of rolls off. But at Baker's Life tonight, Baker's Life Fieldhouse right here in Indianapolis. And if you're local or if you're close to driving, get here. There's still some tickets available. If nothing else, they got a big party going on. Like I said, San Antonio, I tell you what, they beat the Grizzlies in game 4. So they've had plenty of time to rest. Now, we want to see this go to 7 games. Because if we lose tonight, it's all over. So we want it to go 7 games. But San Antonio is resting. Let's talk about this. Guys, awesome. We want to hear your thoughts. Tweets. You can tweet us at T-Balance as well. And 917-889-8516 is my digits. Okay, tonight, guys, let's talk a little bit about the Pacers and what's going on with the Pacers tonight. And what do they have to do to beat the Heat? You know, I love those. I see them all over the office and just, you know, all over town. Beat the Heat. It's pretty simple. Beat the Heat. Got to do that. Paul George, obviously one of our star forwards, 6'9", 215 pounds. Now, he tied his playoff career high with 27 points in Game 5. He is currently ranked in the top 25 in the NBA in really the following categories: rebounds, assists, and steals. 21 steals. Now, his playoff average is 19.4 points per game, and 7.4 rebounds per game, 5.1 assists per game. So here's the thing, though. Versus Miami, 20.2 points per game. You look back a few days ago when we were able to stop LeBron. He was limited to 24 points. So to me, that's the magic number. If you can keep LeBron under 24 points, however you got to do that, you can beat the Heat. Let's look at David West. Forward 6'9", 250 pounds. He had 17 points and 8 rebounds in Game 5. He's currently tied for 23rd in the NBA with 7.3 rebounds and is 22nd in field goal percentage, shooting 47.3%. Now, his average against Miami, 18.2 points per game. Roy Hibbert. Come on. He got no answer for Roy Hibbert. 22 points and 6 rebounds in Game 5. He's currently 8th in the NBA, in the top 10, 9.9 rebounds per game, and is tied for 11th in field goal percentage, shooting 50% and is 5th with 2.12 blocks per game. He averages 22.6 points per game. Roy Hibbert's our man. Let's not rely on Roy Hibbert or Paul George or David West or George Hill or Lance Stevenson. You know, talking about the Pacers and maybe digressing a little bit here, Danny Granger, he's done as a Pacer. I always hear things first here on The Balance, and I understand that. But Danny Granger, he's done as a Pacer. Has that been made official? No, of course not. But his left knee injury's out. I don't think that the Pacers can really support Danny Granger for another year. Great player. Great time here in Indianapolis. Danny, time for you to go. We're going to probably, hopefully, make that decision in the offseason. Danny Granger, no longer a Pacer. So we look at some of the things that are happening. what are your thoughts? What is going on with the Pacers? You know, the Pacers and the Heat met three times in during the 2012-13 regular season and split the season series 2-1, with each team winning both games on their home court. Indiana 2, Miami 1, and in the regular season, Indiana leads the series 53-38. The Pacers and the Heat have faced each other twice in the postseason. And the overall series is tied at six games and won by each team. So each team has won six games. The two teams have never faced each other in the Eastern Conference Final. Neither team has ever swept the other in the playoff series. The Heat gives us problems. The Heat gives us problems. So what do we do? I want to hear your thoughts. 917-889-8516. It's not a long-distance call, guys. Just give me a call. Everybody has cell phones these days. Even if you don't, even if you're one of those people who have a landline, it's not long distance, call me. 917-889-8516. Tweet me at TBalance. I want to talk to you. I want to hear your thoughts about the Pacers. What do we got to do? What do the Pacers got to do to beat the Heat? Well, maybe you're a Heat fan. I don't know why, but maybe you are. If you're a LeBron fan, come on. You can't tell me you weren't a Heat. You know, all of those people who say LeBron's the greatest basketball player of all time, come on, man. You know what? In a lot of ways, I'll give you credit. He is. But the story is still being told. Let's not add a chapter to LeBron's ego by letting him just control the game. A third straight Eastern Conference title is now just one win away for the Miami Heat. Well, they're the reigning champs. Maybe they're champs for a reason. So I don't know. Let's see what happens. Let's look at the Heat. Let's see what they're playing with. We know what they're playing with. They got one guy, LeBron James. And we keep trying to go after LeBron James. He is not the answer. We allow LeBron James to beat us. We need to stop LeBron James. Yes, he's LeBron James. I get that. Never went to college. Does that matter? It matters in a lot of jobs. Should matter in the NBA. He spent his whole life, everybody telling him what a great player he is. And maybe he is in his own right. He's really a good player. Maybe we wouldn't be having this discussion if they weren't coming up against the Pacers tonight. A Baker's life. He has scored 3,633 postseason points, 13th most in the NBA history, and only nine shy from the 12th place spot held by Scottie Pippen. Remember Scottie Pippen with the Bulls? Played with the real greatest basketball player of all time, a guy by the name of Michael Jordan. Maybe you remember him. I'm not ready to put LeBron James in Michael Jordan's seat. Maybe you are. Maybe you are ready to say LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan. And maybe you've got a legitimate argument for it. But I'm not ready to go there yet. Look at Chris Bosh, center, 6'11", scored 20 points while grabbing 19 rebounds at Chicago and becoming just the second player of the Heat playoff series to hit those marks. We got something for Chris Bosh. Dwayne Wade. Another completely overrated player, Dwayne Wade, shot a career high 52.1%. A career high. Did you just not hear the stats that I gave you for the Pacers? Dwayne Wade. Chalmers, Hausman. We got something for every one of the Heat. We don't have anything for LeBron James. Okay, LeBron, come out here and play your game. Let's keep you under 24 points. That's the key. That's the magic number. Less if possible. LeBron's going to come out and get his own. You have to be out at Baker's Life tonight to feel the excitement. You know, it's the 2013 NBA playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals. It all counts. This is what it's all about. This is what we play all year for Pacer fans. Get out there, support the Pacers inside the field house, outside the field house, line the streets. I tell you what, there's something to be said for home field advantage or home court advantage in this situation. And do we have it? No. But we got it tonight. Take advantage of it. We may not have it again for another year. My hat's off to the Fever. Great year. Congratulations last year on winning the WNBA championship. Hats off to them. But it's time that Indianapolis bring back, that the Pacers bring back a national championship. It's time that the Pacers get their fans back. I'll admit, I'm one of those fans. The Pacers lost us back in their thug days. And then you add things to national commentary, like Colin Cowherd and others, who tell you, Pacer fans, that you guys are just mediocre fans. You're a medium market, and you don't mean much of anything. Well, maybe they're right. As long as we prove them right, get out there and support the Pacers. Again, my digits, if you want to give me a call, 917-889-8516. If you're listening to me live, if you're listening to me on Indiana Talk, you certainly can shoot me an email or a tweet. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Tom@thebalanceonline.com or TBalance or IndyProSports.com or @ProIndy. And if you guys haven't checked out our website, www.IndyProSports.com, go ahead and do that. We've had some server issues. We've got those fixed, so we'll have all the updates on the Pacers and everything on there. So just be patient with us over there on that. We appreciate that. Hey, we're growing. We're experiencing growing pains. We're experiencing a lot of pains. One of the pains is the heat. Tonight, 8:30. Why start a game at 8:30? It's not so bad on a Saturday night, I guess. But, you know, during the week, you can start a little bit earlier. 8:30, I know we want the West Coast audience. San Antonio watching. Who do you think San Antonio Spurs are sitting there watching right now? Go Pacers! Go Heat. Honestly, I think they'd rather play the Heat than the Pacers. I think they're more threatened by the Pacers than the Heat. I think that they know that we're more of a compatible match. I think they really know for a fact they could beat the Heat. And honestly, if the Spurs get and the Spurs and the Heat get to the national championship game, there's no doubt in my mind that the Spurs will win that in probably six games, but it might go to seven games. It'll at least be six games. But the Spurs will take the Heat. Heat's not getting another national championship. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know that I'm overly confident that the Pacers can beat the Spurs. But I can tell you one thing for sure. You're guaranteed a seven-game series if the Pacers and the Spurs get together. You always hear everything first here on The Balance. You know, if you want to rely on the national media, nothing wrong with ESPN. Got it on here at The Balance Studios right now. I like ESPN. I like Mike and Mike. I like Dan Patrick. I'm not a big fan of Colin Cowherd, but I do listen to him from time to time. I listen to the national media. I listen to what they have to say. And they're not saying the Pacers could beat the Heat. It's amazing how they changed their tune after we lost. You know, they kind of gauge it. Well, they won, so now they must be able to handle the Heat. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Heat. Well, now they lost. I was right the first time. They can't handle the Heat. All I'm saying is, Pacers, you got an opportunity. Get out there to prove to your fans that you guys can win a national championship. You have to get past the Heat. They're the defending champions, maybe for a reason. We didn't stop them last year. We could have stopped them last year. We didn't stop them last year. So this is a year. This is a makeup. Let's do this. Let's make it happen. Pacers, Heat, tonight. There you go, guys. I tell you what, it's exciting time here in Indianapolis. It is really good to see the Pacers back in the national spotlight again, and in a good way. We went through our time. We struggled with you as a fan. We did. I was one of those. You've given us hope, Pacers. You've given us something to look forward to. You've made us believe that we're not just a football city. We're not just about the Indianapolis 500. We're not just about the Indianapolis Colts. We're not just a city that brings some of the best amateur sport championships in the world. You know, for years, Indiana was a basketball state. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you've seen the movie Hoosiers. That ought to prove that to you. For years, IU dominated. IU, welcome back. For years, we have been known as a basketball state. Remember Market Square Arena? Remember Reggie Miller? And it's just to name a few. I could go on and on and on. The heritage in basketball lies right here in Indiana. Pacers, you have given us hope again. We embrace that hope. All I'm asking you to do is come out here tonight and play ball. Prove to us, prove to the fans that we can trust you again. That might be kind of harsh. That might sound kind of harsh. Maybe it is. But we want to believe. I think you've gained a huge fan base. And perhaps no matter what happens, the season ticket holdership will go up. I hope so. But as a fan, and as what this show is built around, the whole concept of this show, The Balance, was to kind of cover the stories that the national media cover, but cover it from a fan's perspective. And as a fan, and as what this show's built around, the fan, you know, our minions, our fans, it's time that you prove to the fans that basketball is back in Indiana. The Fever can do it. And believe me, it was no easy task for the Fever to get to where they're at. And I know you guys have struggled. And I know you guys have came from behind. But we just want to believe. And again, not trying to come down on you too hard. We're behind you. Now, I just believe that we need to light a fire on both the fan side and on the Pacer side. We have got to beat the Heat tonight. So, you know, there's my rant, guys. I don't get on them very often. Well, occasionally. Tonight, 8:30, Bakers Life Fieldhouse. Boys and girls, be there. Support them. Because I'll tell you one thing. You know, I realized that the national media kind of ran with this and just said, hey, did you hear what was said? And did the whole bantering back and forth and all of that stuff with when the playoff series started and we said, you know, we just prepare for them like any other team and LeBron James was quick to snap back and says, we aren't just any other team. You got to prepare for the Heat. We're national champions. Thought that was kind of a silly banter, kind of a rambling on LeBron James trying to get into our heads. Apparently, he was able to do that. Mission accomplished on LeBron James's part. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'll tell you what else is unbelievable. I can't get my keyboard to work. It always happens that way, though, doesn't it? I was going to talk some MLB with you. But maybe I can get my keyboard to work here in just a moment. Who knows? See, the Heat's gotten in my computer now here. Every week it's something. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Want to hear your thoughts about the Pacers, the Heat. You want to talk about anything sports, we're all about it. We are all about it. Give us a call. 917-889-8516 is the number to reach us. And I probably hit some button here that I wasn't supposed to hit. MLB. You want to talk some MLB? I'd love to talk some MLB with you. Maybe. You know, every Thursday, though, we have a show called The Hot Corner. Have you heard us yet on Thursday nights? Right here on Blog Talk Radio, the Balanced Radio Network, Indiana Talks. Yep. The Hot Corner. We talk baseball. It's one of those days. At the end of the show, I can't get my keyboard to work. We'll talk some MLB, though. We'll get things going. 917-889-8516 is my digits. You want to talk some baseball? You want to talk some basketball? You just want to talk? You want to talk about anything? Let me know. That's what I'm here for. El Presidente. I'm not like the wizard. I'll let you behind the curtain. I don't know why I said that. 917-889-8516. Oh, we got the Rays and the Indians today. We got the Mariners and the Twins, the Giants and the Cardinals. My Cardinals, the Giants, the Tigers, and the Orioles. You gonna watch the nationwide race? You gonna watch some MLB? IndyCar doubleheader today. Detroit, Motor City, going on up there. So hey, you know I'm an open book right now. I am an open book. What do you want to talk? You want to talk some IndyCar? See, I should have planned my rant just a little bit longer. But, you know, hey, there's only so much of El Presidente that you can take. If I gave you too much, your brains would absolutely burst. We appreciate all of our fans over at Indiana Talks. We appreciate Indiana Talks carrying us every Saturday and every Thursday. We do an encore presentation on both days from 3 to 5 this afternoon. Go over to Indiana Talks. That's www.indianatalks.com. I tell you what, if you like talk radio, whether it's sports or political or whatever your desire might be, Indiana Talks has got something for you. And what's great, we're based here in Indiana. We're based in Indianapolis, even though we're a national show. We're based right here in the heart of Indianapolis, in the heart of the Midwest. And so it was a privilege for Indiana Talks to carry our show here. And what they've done is they've created an online radio station. And they basically carries shows from all over the state of Indiana, whether it's sports, political, what have you. We just happen to be one of many great shows there on Indiana Talks. So follow them at Indiana Talks on Twitter as well. Well, guys, we about ran out of time. And it is unfortunately time that we have to get ready to close things up here. We're getting ready for the two-minute warning here, and so I don't know what's happened with my computer here, but we're gonna try to wing it through anyway. You know, I had my two-minute warning ramp all up, and I don't know. I guess it's one of those reboot things that I just I'm going to have to figure out as we go along. Two-minute warning here. My name is Marquis El Presidente. I want to tell you guys, thank you for following us all through the month of May. We had a great time out of Indianapolis Motor Speedway covering the Indy 500. We look forward to covering the Brickyard here in Indianapolis. We want to thank you, our fan, for everything that you guys have done and what you're doing for us as we grow. Want you to be a part of it, and so make sure you follow us on Pro Indy, IndyProSports.com, IndianMay.com, and Twitter IndianMay.com, GBalance, and TheBalanceOnline.com. We would love to have as one of our minions. It is certainly one of the most esteemed things that we can do. I want to thank our producer and social media director, Michelle Jones. All rights are reserved for us. We own everything. Don't take our stuff, good material, and make it your own. It's against the law. Don't do it. Don't make us get nasty. Don't make us send Uncle Vinny after you guys. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. And remember, join us Thursday night right here on the Balance Radio Network, 6:30 Eastern, and on Indiana Talks at 9 o'clock. Make sure you check out our encore show today on Indiana Talks at between 3 and 5 on Saturday afternoon. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am out of here.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.